Hello, welcome to the Radio Today programme.
The Radio Today programme, with Broadcast Bionix, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the Social Studio.
No, I'm not Trevor Dan, this is Roy Martin, but we have got a special from Radio Days Europe in Italy. Trevor can't be with us, he's not too good, so get well soon, Trevor. Our roving reporter Mark Pendergast has been back in the hot seat though. He's been talking to the speakers, the exhibitors, the special guests and many more in Milan. David Lloyd is here very soon with Radio Moments, and I'll have some radio news for you as well. But first of all, let's kick things off with the man who told 1,000 radio professionals that radio is dead.
Ben Cooper, of course, of BBC Radio 1. Radio is dead, that's what you said in there.
Well, it was just to grab people's attention, because I think it is dead in terms of its traditional thinking, in terms of going from a studio through a transmitter and an aerial to a radio set. We've got to stop thinking like that, and we've got to think, what are the actual characteristics of radio? And how can we distribute those wonderful characteristics that make up radio on different, in different ways, on different platforms?
Someone like the BBC have got huge resources when it comes to doing different things. You've got a social media producer, I believe, at BBC Radio 1. What about the smaller players in radio? Are they going to get left behind? They haven't got the resources to throw at it.
I don't think it's a question of resources, because if you look at the technology and the way that technology has changed now, technology is so much cheaper. So you're recording this not on a ewer over your shoulder with one shoulder sort of sloped down because it's weighing so much. You're doing it on a phone, a smartphone. And I think, you know, the key is creativity. Whether you're a student radio station or a local, small local radio station or a national radio station, it's about creativity. So if you've got an interview with someone, how do you make your interview stand out? And how will people search that and share that interview rather than your competitor's interview?
Zane Lowe, of course, left Radio 1 a few weeks back, and that seems to have made real waves across the world. I've been looking at American websites with radio, and they're talking about Zane Lowe going to Apple. Have you any idea what Zane Lowe will be doing at Apple?
No, he's sworn to secrecy, but we've even tried to get him in a headlock, and he still won't tell us. The thing, though, for us, is that is a perfect example of the way that the radio industry is changing. So Radio 1 is no longer competing in a radio marketplace in the UK. Apple, sitting in California, had the choice of anyone on the globe, anyone on the planet, and they chose a radio presenter from the UK. And I think that tells you something about the power of radio and the opportunities that we still have as an industry, but it also tells you about the threats.
Is it a worry that the best talent will start disappearing like it did to satellite radio in America?
I think that there will be, Zane won't be the last, I'm sure, to leave the UK shores to go to America. But I think, you know, if you look at the characteristics of what radio has as an industry, things like great presenters, things like amazing live moments, if you look at the free-to-market playlists that are curated, those are fantastic assets, and we just need to distribute them in a different way so that we can get to young people. And I think those elements, those things that radio can do, that, you know, the hairs on your back of your neck stand up or laugh out loud moments, you don't get that with a streaming service. So those assets that the radio industry has, we just have to be better at distributing them in new ways to new audiences.
In the BBC, when you're looking at the listening figures for Radio 1 now, is that the only thing you're looking at? Are you looking at YouTube views, everything else, and saying, well, we are quite successful there, even if traditionally we've not got the same number of listeners?
I think the radio industry definitely needs to get better at using data. We're not very good at collecting it, and in terms of its widest set of sort of reaches. So you've got Radar, that's good. That's good in terms of radio listening, but for Radio 1, you also need to look at YouTube hits. So we've got 2 million subscribers to our YouTube channel. We've got half a billion views on our YouTube channel. You've got 2 million Facebook followers and 2 million Twitter followers. So how do you get all of that footprint, that brand footprint, calculated into meaningful data? And that, I think, if you can work that out, then let me know, and we'll set up our own company, and I'll leave Radio 1 tomorrow.
Is it a worry, though, that you're now being led by, it's almost Google, isn't it, or Facebook? Their companies, their brand is now telling you what to do, rather than you with a radio station that just broadcast what you want and did what you want.
So I think one of the problems we have is the radio industry has almost had a monopoly for many, many years on how it distributes its content. Now you have that situation where you're putting content on a third-party site or a third-party platform. And that is good in the short term because you can build loyalty and you can build new audiences. But I think we need to get back some of our control in terms of distributing our content. So I think hybrid radio is a really key thing. And if you don't know about it, find out about it. Hybrid radio here at Radio Days Europe has got a stand. And it shows people that on a smartphone, you can have, rather than that just wheel of death staring at you when you're trying to get a proper IP signal, you can actually get FM, digital, or an IP signal. And if we can do that, we can get back into the game, we can get back onto smartphones, and we can start winning young audiences over.
Is that far away?
I wouldn't like to say what the timeline is, but go and talk to Hybrid and find out where we are at in terms of when that can happen. But I think, you know, there's great backing for hybrid radio across Europe from very many different backers. And I think, you know, the sooner we do it, the better.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Jeff Lloyd of Absolute Radio. People are idiots. But obviously, you weren't really saying that in your presentation, were you?
No, I mean, I'm the biggest idiot of the lot, I think. But the presentation's about how, I think it's changing, but there was a culture in radio of treating the audience like they were dumb or like they were dirty. I told a story about we used to have a receptionist at one of the radio stations I worked at who saw it as a main job to defend us from the marauding zombie hordes that were the listeners. They'd bring in biscuits and she'd be like, don't eat those, they'd poison them. And it's a presentation about how if you trust the audience and do stuff that's a bit different or a bit cleverer, then maybe they'll go with it.
I mean, you're the master of this one with...
That's me, the master.
Intricate topics, features that you think, hold on, that shouldn't work, and lo and behold, it works.
Yeah, I just... I don't even know what to say. Is there a question in there somewhere?
Well, it's just how the hell do you do it, basically?
You just panic, don't you? It's like any radio show. You sit there, you look at a blank piece of paper, you panic, and you think, oh, that strikes me as funny. I wonder if other people will find it funny. And I once read an interview with the writers of Peep Show where they talked about how if you have a thought and you think, I'm a disgusting person, I can't believe that anybody else in the world does this, like I can never mention this to anybody, that's the thing that you should say out loud because that's going to be the thing that most people resonate with.
Is that, I mean, you mentioned that there and you were talking about the writers of Frasier during your presentation. Is it something you draw more inspiration from radio-wise? Is other TV shows, comedy, things like that, rather than just other radio DJs?
Yeah, I don't listen to a lot of radio, only because I'm scared of ripping stuff off. So you have your people who you're influenced by. Like, I love Danny Baker, and I think he changed the way that a whole bunch of people like me do phone-ins onwards. But I don't want to listen in case I accidentally pick up mannerisms. I'd rather sort of watch other stuff, find it fun. You know, I just think you should just watch loads of stuff and listen to loads of stuff. It's what you always tell work experience kids, isn't it? Go out, watch a bunch of comedy, listen to music, see a bit of real life, see what real people find funny or interesting, and then come back.
One thing you've got that a lot of people haven't had in radio, especially at one radio station, longevity. How and why?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why they... I mean, I can only presume it's some kind of clerical error. I don't know why they... It's nearly 16 years. In fact, it might be 16 years now. And every passing year, I think, OK, someone's going to find out this year.
I always imagine you as a drinker, an old drinker in a pub in a bar there, who sort of says, I've seen off 16 landlords.
Yeah, what I like to do is start rumour-mongering about younger DJs, knifing them in the back, start whispering campaigns, you know, that kind of thing.
What about the future for you?
Well, the immediate future is we're going to some Italian radio studios and we're going to do the show, and that's going to be a luxury because I don't have to press any buttons. Somebody's going to do it all the other end, so I just get to sit there and talk. Beyond that, I have no idea.
Mel Gregg, formerly, of course, of Today FM, and I think well-known in radio circles and the rest of the world for, obviously, the incident that happened a little while ago. Without dwelling on that, you've now decided to come and see you at the Radio Festival, and now you're here at Radio Days Europe sharing your experiences. Tell us a little bit about what you've been speaking to people about.
Just going over what happened and what we can learn from it. It was a tragic event, but what can we take from that and what can we do to make sure it doesn't happen again? So if there's anything that the DJs here today or the producers can learn from it, then that is why I'm here and that's why it's worth it.
Do you Do you think you've changed radio in a way? Or what happened changed radio?
It absolutely did, especially in Australia. I believe there is still a ban on prank calls. I know they did a ban soon after it happened. I haven't heard a prank call on Australian radio. So it's made people think, okay, we can't take the piss out of people. We need to be more mindful of people's feelings when we play a prank or do a joke. And I think that's really good that people are starting to think that way.
Do you think they'll be gone forever, or is it just a phase and it'll drift back into radio?
Let me tell you, as long as I'm around, it will be around. I will make sure that I keep spreading this message. And if I see something like that happen again, I'll be the first one to go pull your head in and think about what you're doing.
Yourself personally, obviously, huge effect on your career. Radio-wise, you've not been back on the air, I don't think, since then?
No, I haven't. I want to get back into radio, and I realised that when I spoke at my engagement party. I held that microphone for the first time, and my speeches went for an hour. I could not stop talking into the microphone, and I had that passion again, and I knew that I wanted to get back in. One day I hope to. I won't give up until I do, but it's a hard challenge, and I understand that.
What about the level of support you receive from people?
From the public now, it's been fantastic. I mean, maybe it always has been good, but at the time I would read abuse and messages from trolls and tweets and believe they were normal people and that the world hated me. I believed it.
What about actively in terms of other radio people? Are people saying it's a good idea to go back in? Are you getting offers of jobs? Is the phone ringing like that?
No offers of jobs. People are very cautious. People sometimes don't want bad publicity. I don't see how they'd get bad publicity for employing me, but they feel that they would, which is fine. I understand. But hopefully someone will realise that I do actually have 15 years of experience. I just wasn't a rookie DJ doing a prank call. That's not who I am.
Do you think other people of, if you like, background who have worked at Austereo, etc., they've got away with it a little bit more because they weren't a person at the sharp end of doing it when realistically they were as culpable as yourself?
Everyone handles things differently, and the outcome was different for a lot of people. Some people could move on and continue to work or go back to work. For me, I couldn't. I had to battle with my dark monster that was depression and deal with that before considering where I wanted to work again. And if others can move on and see it for what it is, then I think that's great for them. I'm not one of those people, though.
How hopefully are they so everything will be resolved quickly now? I know things will take other steps, but how hopeful and do you think things will be resolved quickly and we can draw a line and move on?
What are you referring to, ACMA?
Or? Yeah, but just referring to everything in general. There's been other processes, legal processes begun in Australia. There's been blame shifted to other people legally, etc., etc. Are you hoping this soon enough will be able to draw a line on it, or do you see this dragging on for a while?
Look, there has been so many different elements of the tragedy that has kept it very active in the media, and processes such as the inquest and court cases that have been ongoing. I feel the ACMA decision will now put a close to the prank call. It will never be forgotten. I certainly will never forget it. I've learnt to deal with it. I'm at peace with it. And it will always be known. There will always be the Royal Hoax Call. But I do hope that everyone can move forward from it soon.
Thank you, Mel. Wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Mike Powell, who's Senior Vice President of RCS. I would say the giant of radio broadcasting. It just seems to get bigger and bigger for the company, doesn't it?
It does. It's an amazing story. I mean, we've been around, 35, 36 years. We're about as same age as Microsoft. And, you know, I guess our founder, a gentleman called Andrew Economus, basically invented the concept of computerized music scheduling. I guess it's a bit like, you know, who invented the light or, you know, discovered electricity. I'm sure it would have happened eventually, but someone had to do it first, and it was him.
Is there a country in the world that isn't touched by RCS, if you pardon the pun?
Well, yeah, but not too many. I think, you know, we actually recounted yesterday, funnily enough. We're in 108 countries worldwide. We have 22 offices serving those 108 countries. And that equates to about 10,500 customers.
Which is absolutely huge. And your new product you're showcasing here is the next development, especially exciting with someone who presents on air like me, Zeta. New interface, some really exciting features there.
Zeta is the one, is the system I would have killed for when I was in radio. It's an amazing system. I mean, it's totally scalable. If you actually look at any two Zetas, they're always different because you decide what modules you want, whether you want them at all, how big they are, where you place them, I mean, like hotkeys, for example, you know, you can decide whether you want them touch-enabled or not. You can decide whether you want one or, in you know, literally infinity. I was going to say a million, but actually you're not even governed by that. So you could have a completely separate screen of nothing but hotkeys. No, it's an amazing system, and it really is driving a lot of our business right now. A lot of people going for Zeta. There's a lot of buzz about it. What we're particularly proud of is that we've got our first 100% Zeta country, and that is the city-state of Singapore. Every single radio station in Singapore is now Zeta G-Selector.
What about future developments for the company?
Well, you know, obviously we're always looking at the mobile space. You know, we're looking at things you can do on the move. Every one of our cornerstone products, you know, news, traffic, playout, scheduling, has now a mobile version. In fact, I'm just indicating to a huge poster beside us, which shows you a selector to go, for example. So, you know, literally the program director can be anywhere in the world scheduling his station, her station. And similarly with Zeta, you know, you can voice track, hotkeys, anywhere in the world. You know, you can be doing your radio show literally in the palm of your hand on any device, any you know, platform agnostic, cell phone, tablet, phablet, whatever, you can be running Zeta. So, you know, that's the future, and we're already there, but never complacent, because there's always something new to invent.
Dennis Clark, obviously you are a radio consultant, and it's unusual that someone is more well known than a presenter, but within the radio industry you are very, very well known. You've worked with some of the biggest names going. What's the key to working with such talent?
Just by appreciating what they do. You know, I think that a lot of talent is unknown to many managers. And when a guy like me comes in and goes, you know, this guy's good, or that girl's great, or somebody's really got some talent here, that kind of thing. Getting onto the manager's radar is the most important thing to just, frankly, get their first start. And then from there, let the talent begin. Start talking about your life. Start talking about what interests you. Start talking about what you love, what you like, what you hate, what you don't like. And, you know, just start creating the bond with the listener, and that's how it all starts.
You've worked with Rick Dees, Ryan Seacrest, Elvis Duran. Is it the same formula for all of them? Is it cookie cutter?
The foundations are... but every single one of those shows is 100% different. You know, a lot of people think that there's a template or there's a system or anything like that. The foundation is just, you know, getting really that relationship with you and the listener, and it's one person listening, and what makes that interesting. And I think that a variety of different things help that. It's the type of radio station you're on. It's your hours of when your show airs, so it could be mornings, middays, afternoon. So just connecting that relationship with the listener at that time of day, every day, and being real consistent but real interesting is the most important thing.
Now, you're in charge of iHeartMedia, the talent division there. How do you manage that? It's hundreds and hundreds of radio stations, hundreds and hundreds of people.
It is, but we've had a lot of wonderful success stories in the last 2 or 3 years. We have Bobby Bones now, who is becoming our face and our voice of country music. And 2 years ago, we didn't have anybody in that sort of national country world. And Bobby's young country, so he's connecting with the artists and bringing country music to an audience that thought country was a little bit not for me. They say, you know, like, oh, all the country stars, you have to have this respect for the country stars, etc., that kind of thing. And I think that Bobby is really connecting to the stars like friends, and then more importantly, he's connected his show to listeners like friends too. So the system, that system works there. Breakfast Club in New York is another great success story. That's a show that's targeted urban audience, based in New York. This is a true work in progress of when you find real new hungry talent that has developed 5 years later into them being the Breakfast Club. They are three very interesting, unique people that never had the opportunity to have their own show or to let their personality shine. And these three people have done that. So it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne the God, and that's the Breakfast Club, and you'll love that show.
One word that I think maybe you've heard now and again, maybe you've experienced now and again, egos. How do you deal with them within personalities?
You know, ego is the necessary evil. I think we all have egos. Every human being on the planet has an ego. The thing that feeds the ego for radio presenters is somebody's listening. So there's nothing worse than when there's a presenter on the air and they're not getting listener feedback, no one's calling. And I just think that just goes to show that you're not connecting with your audience. You're screaming at them, you're boring, you're not actually paying attention to that listener. And so that's one of the reasons why the phones don't ring. So the more you connect, the more you share your life, the more you observe and bring it to your show, and your passion is just felt through the microphone and their speakers. And whether it's your love of music, the love of the city you live in, whatever that connection point to the radio show and the listener is, really seize that opportunity and make it fit and work in their life.
Final question for you. Obviously, radio's changed an awful lot in the last few years with digital, etc., etc. 5 years' time, 10 years' time, where do you see the future?
The first slide in my session is these are the good old days. So you might as well embrace the future, and the future could be anything. It could be something that we don't even know about right now. Like in the United States, they're talking about internet and car. They're talking about other digital platforms that possibly could be coming through. So here's the thing. If you have a product and you're connecting with an audience, and that audience will find you no matter what service or the technology that it's being delivered on, they'll find you. And to me, I think that's pretty exciting. So if you can make what the future is work for you and your personality and be there for listeners, then congratulations. 5 years from now, it's going to be amazing.
Dennis Clark, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Here with Nick Piggott of Radio DNS. Now, Ben Cooper of BBC Radio 1 has been raving about hybrid radio. Why is he raving about it?
Well, the principle of hybrid radio is that we take the very best attributes of broadcast radio and we combine them very tactically and very cleverly with the best things from the internet. So we preserve all of the scale and all of the reach of broadcast radio, which is a really cost-effective way of delivering radio to a lot of people. And then we tactically add extra content and interactivity alongside that using the internet. It's better for listeners because it uses less data and it uses less battery than if you were trying to do everything as internet streaming. And it's better for broadcasters because it's cheaper to send the majority of what you do over broadcast. But it's very easy to then switch people from listening to the traditional broadcast stream to listening to on-demand content or personalized content. So for the listener, it's a really seamless experience and they're getting the best of both technologies combined into one thing.
Now, Ben described it as a game changer, and the way you describe it there, obviously you'd be listening to, say, your FM station, and what could appear alongside it on your screen of your phone?
Well, I think one way of looking at it is it's a way that allows us to reinvent broadcast radio as a technology, as something that looks and works like an app. So you get all the benefits you could get from an app with visual information and click-throughs to URLs and websites and interactivity, but the audio you're listening to is coming over broadcast radio, so it's not using any streaming capacity and it's not hammering your battery. So really, the experience that you can create as a radio station is only limited by the imagination you could put into designing an app. And the use of broadcast radio kind of comes in last. We just make it all fit together seamlessly. So as a listener, you don't really need to know if you're listening to broadcast or streaming. If the broadcast signal gets bad, if you get bad reception on FM, which you might get, for instance, if you're going into an office building, it can switch to streaming. So a scenario we've looked at is if you go into a modern office building, the radio reception can be bad, but you've got Wi-Fi. And the app can just switch straight over to streaming on Wi-Fi. And then when you go back out the other way, as it loses the Wi-Fi signal, it can drop back to using FM or DAB. So that's an example of a piece of smart functionality that's using the most appropriate transport mechanism to get the audio to someone, but they don't have to do anything about it. It just happens automatically.
It sounds great, but when's it going to happen?
Well, it's happening now. We've got tabletop radios that implement it now. There are some phones from Samsung that implement it between FM and streaming with the Radio DNS client built into them. So when you buy the phone, it's got Radio DNS in it. We're exhibiting here today car radios from, you know, big car radio brands that are going to have the hybrid radio functionality in them, so that if you bring your smartphone into the car and you pair it with your car for things like Bluetooth hands-free phone functionality, you'll also have an app on the phone that can control your car radio and has the hybrid functionality in it as well. So you can go from having a very basic car radio to having a very sophisticated one just by pairing up your smartphone in the car.
When do you think, what will it be? Excuse me. Do you think, I'm talking to you now on an iPhone, is there going to be some resistance maybe from Apple to put it into their phones, because obviously they're looking at streaming and doing different things now?
I think the issue for Apple is not whether or not they want to promote streaming or not. I think it's whether or not broadcasters can make broadcast radio good enough for Apple. I think there's no technological reason why you can't put FM radio in an iPhone. That's not the issue. The issue is, how do you make broadcast radio really smart and good looking and as good as an app on an iPhone? And to do that, it needs broadcasters to commit to open standards. It needs them to commit to doing quite simple things like making sure their logos are all provided in the correct standard at the correct sizes, making sure the station names are correct. Kind of a fundamental, we have to get our metadata right. If Apple sees that they can create a great new experience of broadcast radio on an iPhone, then that becomes more interesting for them to do than just putting another FM tuner on, which is a bit dull and doesn't really create a great experience compared to all the other apps that you can get on an iPhone.
Well, Nick, it sounds interesting. The future sounds bright for radio. If Ben Cooper's raving about it, I think we've got lots to look forward to.
Thank you, Ben, as well. Yeah, thank you.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, Newsboss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
Thank you to Mark and all our special guests this week who talked to us in Milan. In the news this week, a new European standard has been announced for digital radio. We'll all have the same logo, and manufacturers will make the same kind of digital radio, all including FM, DAB and DAB+. Certainly a step in the right direction. Iggy Pop is back on Six Music for a new weekly show each Friday night at 7 o'clock. Dermot O'Leary danced for 24 hours for comic relief last week. And the BBC has launched another 20 transmitters, now reaching 95% of the population with national digital radio. You can also read on Radio Today this week about Helen Bowden's favourite radio moments of the last 12 months, which leads nicely into this week's edition of
We start this week in Northern Ireland 39 years ago and the arrival of commercial radio.
Downtown, so much more music and the friendliest people here on 293. Downtown.
6 o'clock on Downtown Radio and over to the Downtown Radio News Desk.
Good morning. It's Tuesday the 16th of March. Downtown Radio News at 6 o'clock. Michael Beattie reporting. The first independent local radio station in Northern Ireland went on the air a few moments ago. Downtown Radio will broadcast from its studios in Newton Arts and hopes to provide a service for most of the province.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome along to the brand new sounds of Downtown Radio. Broadcasting on 293 metres in the medium wave band and 96 megahertz in the VHF band in stereo. Monday to Friday, each morning from 6 o'clock.
The start of Downtown this week in 76. Changes this week in 86 on Radio 2.
Breakfast listening, Radio 2, Derek Jameson.
Morning, morning. Yes, Jameson here, starting yet another career at the age of... Excuse me, yes, everybody's talking.
Yes, Derek Jameson takes over from Ken Bruce on Breakfast this week 29 years ago. It's 11 years since the BBC lost this character, and the chap whose voice closed down the Home Service in 67, ready for Radio 4 the following day.
The time is just now 10 minutes to 12. This is David Dunhill, and this is the end of the Home Service for today and for all days. In one sense, I suppose, we're like a bride on the eve of her wedding. We go on being the same person, we hope, but we'll never again have the same name. Tomorrow at 6:35 a.m., we become Radio 4. So, goodbye. Home service. Two of the best words in the British language. And still, I'm sure, the only answer you can give to the question, what is radio for?
Farewell, David Dunhill, who died this week in 2005.
Good night.
This week in 1923, the British Broadcasting Company moved premises. It was farewell to Marconi House and hello, Savoy Hill.
This is London calling. Now, tonight, our chairman, Lord Gainford, is going to speak to you on this, the occasion of the opening of our new studio at 2 Savoy Hill, London.
As chairman of the British Broadcasting Company and on the occasion of the opening of our new London studio, I am glad to have the opportunity of saying a few words to our many thousands of listeners in throughout the country.
The BBC moving to its first proper premises this week, 92 years ago. Some links are remembered forever, sometimes for the wrong reasons.
We have a new entry at
number 26
from Darren Darren.
15th of March 1981, and Tony Blackburn on the top 40 with the link he'll never be allowed to forget.
Thank you very much for a couple of people who rang up, and I didn't realise that I said it, but I mispronounced the name. I said Darren Darren and Planet Earth at number 26, when of course it should be, as everybody knows, Duran Duran. When you're doing a tight scheduled process, sometimes you mispronounce things. I do apologise. None of us are too big to apologise.
This week in 1974, the new Radio Hallam in Sheffield appointed its first programme director.
Some radio stations programme a set of oldies for weeks. On first hearing, you think, ah, that's great to hear that good old song again. But after hearing it four times within 4 days, you think, oh, my God, they're not playing that old thing again, are they? I heard that only yesterday. If one is programming by computer, I can only plead to programmers, let the machines be our servants and not our masters.
Keith Skews, who had been at Radio 1 talking there in the 80s on music scheduling. He got the key to his Sheffield office this week in 74 as the station won its licence against one other competitor.
Your information station is Radio Hallam.
It's 9 years this week since XFM launched in Manchester.
A new music station is born. XFM.
Ah! XFM.
97.7 XFM Manchester.
97.7 XFM Manchester is live on air. Come on! We're off! Come on! Clint Boone is here! Sean Ryder is in the building!
Happy birthday, XFM Manchester, launched by GCAP this week in 2006. A quick happy birthday now. Who's this?
Transport Minister Nicholas Ridley is confirming that the government is considering bringing in troops to replace striking dockers. He says the government won't stand by and watch the country brought to a standstill.
Yes, a young, formal Steve Allen, LBC's early bird for so many years now. Happy 61st. Let's finish this week with the final words from the Radio Caroline ship, the Mi Amigo. It's this week in 1980. You're on board in the face of a storm as the ship breaks anchor. You're a rebel, broadcasting live as the historic vessel which changed the face of British music radio approaches what seems to be its end.
Well, we're sorry to tell you that due to the severe weather conditions and also to the fact that we're shipping quite a lot of water, we're closing down and the crew are at this stage leaving the ship. Obviously, we hope to be back with you as soon as possible, but we'd just like to assure you all on land that there's nothing to worry about. We're all quite safe. Just for the moment, we'd like to say goodbye. Tom?
Yeah, it's not a very good occasion, really. I'll have to hurry this because the lifeboat is standing by. We're not leaving and disappearing. We're going onto the lifeboat, hoping that the pumps can take it. If they can, we'll be back. If not, well, I don't like to say it.
I think we'll be back one way or another,
yeah,
Tom.
I think so.
From all of us, for the moment, goodbye and God bless.
Goodbye, mi amigo. A few minutes later, the ship sank, leaving only its mast visible above the waves. So with Henry Hall making his first broadcast for the BBC Dance Orchestra in the unfinished broadcasting house 83 years ago...
Goodbye, everyone, and here's to the next time.
The first ever news bulletin from Broadcasting House 83 years ago...
This is London Calling.
...and Capital Radio paying its first dividend 37 years ago... Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Another excellent edition from David. Thank you very much. And thank you to Mark and everybody in Milan, including Will Jackson, who you can see on eRadio this week, working very hard, tweeting all the updates. Next week on the programme, we'll bring you interviews and coverage from the Sound Women Future Festival in London, and we hope Trevor gets well soon. From Roy Martin, goodbye.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.